Well, just before we take a moment to, or just before we turn to God's Word, I want to take a moment to call your attention to the blue insert that is in your bulletin this morning. So if you would just find that for a moment, I want to make just a few comments about that and what that represents for our life as a church over the next couple months. As I trust you know, and as I trust you love, God-centered worship occupies a place of great importance in our life as a church. And during the remainder of the summer, starting next week, and then throughout the rest of the months of July and August, our first through fifth graders will be joining us as we worship together for the entire worship service. Now, the reason why we do that, I hope you know, is not just to give our first through fifth grade teachers a break. That's nice. They enjoy that. But that's not the primary reason why we do this. We do this because it provides an opportunity to train our children in God-centered, God-focused, God-honoring worship. There are things that they will get by being in the service with us that they could not possibly get in any other way. Folks, children are surprisingly able to hear and remember remarkable things that you think are going right over their heads. They are able to soak in things that we might not think they are able to get. They are able, certainly, to catch the spirit of what is happening here by observing their parents and other adults joyfully giving praise and eagerly listening to and receiving God's Word and praying together. These experiences over time are going to shape their attitude toward worship. They're going to shape their behavior regarding worship. So, this insert in your bulletin, this blue insert, is going to give you some very practical suggestions on how to go about doing this, preparing our children to be with us over the next few months. Now, I'm going to have more to say in 2 weeks to the children when they're here with us, but in preparation for next week, especially in preparation for next week, I want to encourage you to read this and to take some very concrete, practical steps in preparation, families, for having your children with you and with us together as a church in worship starting next week. Now, will you please take your Bibles and let me invite you to turn in them to the book of Acts, please. Early in the New Testament, right after the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and then the book of Acts. And if you would find chapter 2. And I want to read just a brief section this morning from the end of Acts chapter 2, starting at verse 42. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day, those who are being saved. Let's pray together. Father, as we sit here this morning, we are not unaware of, from a human perspective, the significance of this day. Lord, we've been thinking about it and anticipating it this week and next week for many months now. But Father, we also acknowledge that we are unaware completely of the significance from your perspective. We simply cannot know or imagine or foresee what you know. And so, Lord, what we choose to do is to put our trust in you and step by step follow you. And Father, we want this morning to be another step like that. We want to hear your voice from your word, and we want to follow you in obedience of faith. And God, we simply acknowledge to you this morning, we trust you. We want to follow you, and we want to be faithful in our serving your purposes. And so God, help us. We pray that even through the word this morning, there will be added to our faith and our obedience, more faith and more desire to obey. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Next week, Lord willing, we won't be here. Seems like a strange and ominous way to start a sermon. But it's true. Today, Lord willing, is our last Sunday in rented, borrowed facility. Next Sunday, we will, by God's grace, be in our own place. And that is very, very exciting. And in light of this, this significant transition in our life as a church, we have very purposefully taken some time to consider together. We've taken a short break from our time in the Gospel of John, and I must confess to you this morning, I'm eager to get back, which we'll do not next week, but the following week. But we've taken some time now to focus ourselves, to prepare our minds, to prepare our hearts, to enter and occupy and use that building for the glory of God. And we want to do that right from the beginning. So next week, folks, next week, come. Not here, there. But come ready. Come eager. Do not come primarily eager to be in the new building. Come primarily eager to worship God together and to give Him honor with all of your heart and with all of your strength and with all of your soul and with all of your mind. And in order to help us to do that, not just next Sunday, but for many, many Sundays to come, we have purposely taken some time these 3 weeks, and we have already talked about occupying the building as worshipers, as those whose focus is on God and whose primary occupation, whose primary desire in this life is the glory of God. And last week we talked about occupying the building as stewards, as those who've been entrusted with a building because we've already been entrusted with something far greater for which that building is to be used. The mission of declaring with our lives and with our mouths the gospel, the good news of God's grace available to people like us who didn't deserve it. And nonetheless, God has made His grace available to us through Jesus Christ. What good news that is. We've been entrusted with that. And the reason we've been entrusted with the building is to help us fulfill our mission with reference to declaring the gospel. And now, this morning, I want us to think about occupying the building as a growing body. And I get that focus. I want to get that focused in our thoughts this morning. And the way that I want to do that is to return to a little strategy that helped me in the past, the shamelessly self-written self-interview. Just a brief one this morning. Actually, just two questions, so a brief interview. At least the questions are brief. Pastor Mike, first question. What one thing do you like most about the new building? Wow, now that's a tough question. Well, I certainly like that lobby with all of its openness and its light. That is going to be such a welcoming place. I think we're going to love that lobby. And I love the fact that with the new offices, for the first time in our life as a church, the entire team is together. I love that. And speaking maybe a bit selfishly, I really like the fact that for the first time in a long time, I've got all my books together in one place. In fact, right now I'm trying to decide what I like more, having the team all together or having the books all together. I mean, what would you choose? Augustine, Luther, Calvin, Edwards, Piper, or... I'll get back to you on my decision. I love the very simple layout of the building. I love the cross prominently displayed over the entrance of our building, such that every time we enter that building, we come under the cross. There are so many things I like about the building, but certainly one of the things I love about that new building is that it has room for more worshipers. It has room for more people, real people, to be added to the body. There is room for them. Pastor Mike, second question. What's your biggest concern about moving to the new building? My biggest concern. And by the way, if I can step out of my little interview for a moment and say this is not just me, I sense this is your biggest concern as well. My biggest concern? Well, we're moving into a building with more room, and we expect that may result in some potentially significant growth over time. How will that growth affect us? What's that going to do to us as a church? Will it dramatically alter our life as a body, as a church family? Will we slowly but surely become a different kind of church? Will it feel less intimate, more impersonal, more like being in a crowd that you don't know, and less like being a part of a church body? And as a pastor, I think, how are we going to do this? How are we going to maintain and even strengthen the unity of the fellowship that God has given us here? Will we as leaders lose a personal touch, a personal knowledge of the people of this church? How will we know if people are really being helped? How will we know if people are really growing? How will we know if people are really being bonded in to this body? Will new people who come actually be able to say, I felt welcomed into a body, and the longer that I've been at Crossway, the smaller it feels? Will they be able to say that, and will that continue to be a new person's experience? And will the people who've been around a while, who were here during the Mahone era, will they say, you know, even though we've grown, it just keeps getting richer. It just keeps getting deeper. I love this church, and more all the time. The other day, one of my children came up to me and asked, Dad, if you had one wish in the whole world, what would you wish? And for a moment, somewhere in the back of my brain, something about the Packers flashed across. But what I said to her was, Dad, what if you had one wish, what would you wish? What I said was that God's will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's my wish. And then she went off, and I overheard her ask the same question to a sibling. And this is the answer I heard. I want to get married someday, have children, and stay at Crossway the rest of my life. Now, my question is, will she still feel that way in 2 years? Will you? Will this still be a place that you love and want to give yourself to and want to be a part of and want to make sure that it continues to be the kind of place where people feel at home and part of a body that is united by something real? Will that still be the case? You see, this transition, these questions and these concerns might tempt us to think, I don't want things to change. I don't want Crossway to grow. Let's just stay here. This is nice. Just where it is right now. Well, it is this very understandable concern that I want to address this morning, and it's because of this concern that I chose this passage from the book of Acts this morning. This snapshot here in Acts chapter 2 shows us two things going forward simultaneously. That's what I want you to see in this passage. Two things that are going forward together. Two things going forward at the same time. Day by day, the Lord was adding to their numbers, and day by day, they continually devoted themselves to fellowshipping in this life that they had together. Both of them were happening. Both of them were going forward. Ongoing growth, and at the same time, ongoing real fellowship in the life of the body of Christ. Listen, here's the foundational biblical truth I'm standing on today. Ongoing genuine fellowship and ongoing growth are not mutually exclusive. Ongoing genuine fellowship and ongoing growth are not mutually exclusive. In fact, the absence of one of them, even if the other is present with strength, the absence of one of those two things is a sign that something is wrong. Now you can imagine four possible scenarios for us as a church, for any church. The first possibility is that there's no real fellowship and there's no growth. Not a very pretty picture. You can hardly call that a church. A second possibility, that there's real fellowship, but no growth. Which, while I recognize that there are other factors, it's hard to imagine that too, because where there is genuine fellowship, there typically will be something attractive that causes growth. Third possibility, growth, but no real ongoing fellowship. And sadly, that is very imaginable. But there is a fourth possibility, ongoing growth and ongoing genuine fellowship. And that's the picture that is painted here in Acts chapter 2. And that's what we want. In fact, that's the vision that we must have. We want to occupy the building as a growing body. Growing. We want that. It's a sign of health, but more important than that, it's in keeping with God's purpose. God's purpose to keep saving people. God's purpose to bring, as the book of Hebrews says, many sons, many daughters to glory. Now listen, I want to say this loud and clear this morning. I've said it before. I think it's very appropriate for us to hear it again today. No one, as far as I know, no one on the leadership team at Crossway, nowhere, no one anywhere else in Crossway, as far as I'm aware, has aspirations for Crossway to be a big church so that Crossway can be a big church. I don't know of anyone who is motivated by that. And whenever even a creeping thought of that enters my brain, I pray it to death. No one is motivated by that. But we do want to grow. We want to see people saved and folded into local churches. So we want to grow, and we want to be a body. We want that, not just in name, but in reality. We want the kind of body that is described over and over again in the New Testament, in places like, for example, Ephesians chapter 4, that describes a body that is connected, every member engaged and contributing to the health of the body, connected in authentic, healthy, meaningful relationships. And I believe, especially in the months to come, we are going to have to concentrate on this, folks. This can't be something that we just kind of think about today. No, this has got to be like a language in our blood, just pumping through the body all the time. So, as a growing body, that's how we want to occupy the building. And I believe two things are really going to help us in this, and they come right out of this passage in the book of Acts. So first, the first thing that will really help us to occupy the building as a growing body is a great confidence in the goodness of what God is doing. A great confidence in the goodness of what God is doing. God is doing something in the world, through the church, And we want to align ourselves with what God is doing. We want to align ourselves with God's agenda, not replace God's agenda with an agenda that's more to our own liking. We need a great confidence, a great conviction in the goodness, the rightness, the priority of what God is doing. So what's God doing? You know what God's doing? He is gathering for himself a people. He is redeeming for himself a people, a great multitude, the book of Revelation tells us. He is, through Christ, reconciling people from every tribe and every tongue and every nation to himself. And some of those people are in this area. He's building his church. Now, how does that happen? Well, here's how it happens. God makes his presence known, and then he exercises his power to save. That's what he does. He makes his presence known, and then he exercises his power to save. Look at verse 43. There God is making his presence known. Awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. Here's God making his presence known. Notice that these signs and wonders were not done by the apostles. They were done through the apostles. This is God's work. God is doing something. He is making his presence known in the world. Just like he had already done earlier in Acts chapter 2, when he poured out the Spirit and the apostles at that moment were enabled. This was amazing. They were enabled to speak in languages that they had never learned. And so here they are on the day of Pentecost preaching the gospel, the apostles, in multiple different languages so that people who had gathered there in Jerusalem are now hearing the gospel in their own native tongue. And they were amazed. What was God doing? He was making himself known. And then, when God makes himself known, he exercises his power to save. Look at verse 47. So simple and yet so profound. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. The Lord added. Now God uses means, let's not forget that, but it is the Lord who adds. It is the Lord who is building his church. Duties are ours, folks. Results are the Lord's. Paul says it so clearly in 1 Corinthians. Paul says, I planted, Apollos watered, but it was God who gave life. It was God who caused the growth to happen. Listen, the Lord is doing something, and it will help us greatly to remember what he is doing, so that we can align ourselves with and give priority to what he wants to be doing with his church. It belongs to him. We belong to him. So that's the first thing that will help us. But this passage teaches us there's a second thing that will help us very greatly. And that is an intentionality on our part about real biblical fellowship together. An intentionality on our part about real biblical fellowship together. As we grow, we must continue to devote ourselves to biblical fellowship and fold those whom the Lord adds to our number into that fellowship. They are a part of the body. The Lord has added them, and now we get to fold them into the life of our body together. Listen to how Paul says it in Romans chapter 15, verse 7. Therefore, these are such good words for us. Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you. Welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you. And then Paul adds, for the glory of God. Welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. Now let's look and see what that looked like. Verse 42. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. Now don't get the picture here, folks, that this is just a small group of maybe a couple dozen people gathering together and someone teaching and they're having fellowship and they're breaking bread and they're praying. Don't get that picture. It's not even a couple hundred. Look back at verse 41. Verse 41, we read, "So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. And they," verse 42, "they," referring to that 3,000, "they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and prayers." And verse 44, "And all who believed were together." There was this real commitment to each other that took the form of meeting needs and caring for each other. They were in each other's lives. And then verse 46, "And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts." There was a gladness that accompanied all of this life together. And I am so glad to be able to say that that has characterized you as well. Gladness and generosity in your life together. That has marked us, I believe, by God's grace as a body. And I believe that flows directly from a love for the gospel. Gladness and generosity. And there is no reason why all of this cannot mark us as a people in the future. Well, let me, as I've done over the past 2 weeks, wrap up with some very practical suggestions. Just two things this morning. Suggestion number one, let's open the doors of the new building to new people. Let's open our arms to new people. Based on the priority of God's work over what I might like, my comfort, let's invest relationally and invite people in. Invest and invite. Invite people into your lives. Invite people into your homes. Invite people to your church. And when they come, be glad. Welcome them. Don't be hesitant when you see new people come. Open the doors. Open your arms. And welcome them in. Folks, God is going to use your life. And God's going to use our life as a church to accomplish what He is doing. So let's open the doors to the new building. Let's open our arms to new people. Let's invest and invite and see how God uses that. Then, suggestion number two. And it's very important that we do this. If we don't do this, it would probably be better that we don't do number one. So number two, let us continue to cultivate and to contribute to and to wholeheartedly pursue the fullness of life that God intends for us as a church. Let us cultivate and contribute to and wholeheartedly pursue the fullness of life that God intends for us as a church. Let's make sure that there's something real here that people can be folded into. Let's cultivate and pursue this life that has very specific content, very specific definition, that is characterized by a passion for the glory of God, that is characterized by a deep personal understanding and a deep personal appreciation for the gospel as believers, that is characterized by the pursuit of progressive sanctification, that loves the Bible and sees the usefulness of the Bible, that loves biblical fellowship and engages in it rather than withholds from it, that loves biblical manhood and womanhood, that loves the local church. Let's make sure that there is a life together that is defined by real biblical values. Listen, some people are going to come. They're going to visit. They're going to see the new building. They're going to see all the cars pulling in there on Sunday morning. They'll be drawn by that. Some will come and visit, and then they'll find out what our values are, and they won't stay. But folks, let's at least make sure we're not confusing people. Let's at least make sure that there is a clarity about the life that God has called us into. Let's be gracious. Let's be humble. But let's not be fuzzy and vague about this life. Here's my point. Though we grow, we must stay current with that growth in our living out of the values as a church, so that people are not just invited into a building, but there's a life that they're included into. There's a life that they're introduced to and that they can embrace and ultimately, eventually contribute to, which means we're going to have to give constant attention to living out our values. Or things will change. Our values could be swallowed up by growth if we are not attentive. So let me just put a few examples out there for us. One of the things, for example, that we want to characterize us as a body is a corporate commitment to an excitement about personal progressive sanctification, personal growth, becoming more and more like Christ. That is a very important part of our life together. It was the particular focus, remember, last year of our time in Romans chapter 6. So here's my question to you this morning. Are you still excitedly pursuing sanctification? Or has the excitement stirred up by that series dissipated? Folks, it's got to be like a language in our blood, constantly coursing through this body. It needs to be there, permanent, real, because that's something, one thing, but a very important thing that we're going to be calling people to join us in. Or think about biblical fellowship, actually engaging in one another's lives with encouragement, with gentle correction, with comfort, with confession, with hope-giving and life-giving and faith-building words. Are you engaging in that? You see, as we do these things, there's a life together created and sustained which others can be drawn into, and that's what's going to help any increase in size from overwhelming the quality, the biblical quality of our life together. As the number of people attending Crossway grows, there needs to be an equally paced growth in the body of people who deeply love and who faithfully live out the biblical values that we love as a church. And as pastors and elders, we are going to continue to work hard to teach to and to equip people in the things that define us as a church. And those are the very things that will fuel our life together as a growing body. But obviously, we cannot do this alone. Every member of the body contributes to the health of the body. Every member has a part to play. You have a part to play. So, folks, let's pull together. And I suppose it is appropriate on this day to speak a special word to the fathers in this church body. Fathers, I just want to encourage you to step fully into the unique role that God has given to you. Set the spiritual tone and direction of your home. Lead your family to love and engage in these things that we love as a church. And then, as you have opportunity beyond that, and there will be many opportunities beyond that, you will have them often to lend your influence to our life as a church. Fathers, help pull. Along with other fathers, along with other people, along with those who've committed themselves to this church, help pull, lend your strength and your leadership to the maintenance and the increase of the life that God has given to us as a body. So, people of Crossway, you are the church. We are the church. And God has called us as His church to believe some things, to value some things, and to do some things. And as we believe those things, as we value those things, as we do those things, we will be doing our part to preserve a life together that, rather than being overwhelmed by others coming in, is going to be enriched by others coming in. So let us not be afraid. Let's be discerning as we grow. Let's be faithful as we grow. Let's stay very intentional as we grow, but let us not be afraid. Let us instead fix our eyes on Christ, who when He was on this earth said, "I am going to build a church. There are many other sheep that I want to add to my flock. And when he hung on a cross, he did so in order to bring many sons and many daughters with him to glory. And just before he ascended to heaven, he left us with these words. Do you remember? Go and make disciples, because there are more to whom I want to give the precious gift of life. So go. To God's glory. Amen. Well, this is our last Sunday here. And we thought it would be appropriate that the last thing we do here before we go is to share communion together as a whole body, as a church body. Actually, the very last thing that we're going to do is sing. One of my memories of this place is going to be the singing that took place here. I think we grew as a singing church in this place. So let's grow some more. In the Gospel of Matthew, we read that when the disciples had the Last Supper, they gathered around that table with the Lord, they observed the Last Supper, and then the Gospel of Matthew tells us that then they sang a hymn, and then they went out. And all three of those things are very significant for us this morning. We're going to gather around this table, we're going to sing for the last time in this room, and then we're going to go out. And we're going to lock the door behind us, so to speak. So I want this morning, in preparation for our time of communion, to read a passage that I trust is familiar, but I hope you hear it with a new meaning this morning. And while I read, and while you quietly partake of the elements, let me encourage you to recommit yourself to the health of this body. If there are sins in your heart regarding others in this body, I would encourage you to confess those sins and ask for forgiveness. And if there is something to be made right, commit yourself to making it right. If there has been some neglect on your part in terms of your contribution to the health of this body, confess that and ask God for direction and strength as to what you should be doing. And if there is joy in your heart regarding this body, ask God to sustain that joy and to increase that joy. Paul says, "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way also he took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of profaning the body and blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself." Those who are going to help serve, come forward at this time, and let's prepare our hearts to receive the Lord's Supper.
Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever wilt be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see.
Let's stand and sing.
Summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon and stars in their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy and love. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness.
Faithfulness, O God, my Father.